Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
Welcome to another episode of Automate and Grow. I'm here today with Zach Schlein, and Zach was another referral from a common acquaintance who appeared on the show, which was David Markovich, I believe, as opposed to David Feynman. But you know both guys, I believe.
I know both of them very well. Good friends.
We have a treasure trove of great guests coming out of the Online Geniuses Slack community. So I really appreciate you joining me. You've got some interesting stuff on the go, so I wanted to have an opportunity to chat with you today.
Yeah, well, thank you, Michael, for having me. And yeah, Online Genius is really awesome. That's actually how I met David Markovich and was referred to David Feynman.
Oh, terrific. Yeah. Now, you have a couple things on the go. I guess you've got like kind of like the Superman thing where you got a day gig and then you've got a side hustle. Actually, a couple side hustles. So,
yeah,
I think by day you are in the corporate world as an IT manager. Is that the best way to describe it? Or
so, yeah. So, by day, I work for Johnson & Johnson. I'm a business technology leader, bringing new technologies to corporate. And by night, I work on some side hustles as well. But yeah, so it keeps me busy, and it's always learning, and that's what I really enjoy.
So the one venture that it sounds like you're kind of at a crossroads in, but still pretty interesting, I'll just mention, which is it called Fit Muffin? And this is like a paleo-based food product, right?
Yeah, Lyft protein muffins. So
Lyft, I'm sorry.
This. Yeah, no worries.
I have the worst memory.
Basically, a Fit Muffin. You eat one and you get fit instantly. So yeah, I started this company with my mom. It's a paleo muffin that serves as a meal replacement, so 18 to 19 grams of protein. We started it, given that I'm really hardcore into the paleo diet, about 6 years now, and I wanted something that was on the go, that allowed me to adhere to the paleo diet, but also something that gave me enough protein so I was full and acted as a complete meal.
Got it. And so it's been around 4 years, you said, you've been working on that?
Yeah, about 4 years. I mean, it took a while to start. We launched a campaign on Kickstarter. We were successfully funded. My mom and I became ServSafe certified so we could bake in a facility ourselves. And then we found a manufacturer. And so right now, so that's kind of the history of Lyft.
Well, that in itself is pretty exciting, and I don't know if I'm strict paleo, but I definitely like paleo.
Yeah, you feel so much better. I mean, it's every time I go on vacation, that's the time when I break paleo. I'm always ready. I'm always excited to come back. Not too excited to come back, but what I'm excited about is going back and eating really healthy, because when you eat really crappy, you feel really crappy, and you only have one body, and I think I've always been really passionate about health, and you can see all my projects are like very around health. So mental, nutritional with Lyft. So that's really important to me. And I think it's important to eat healthy and meditate and sleep well. And I think that's sometimes often looked when someone is entrepreneurial.
That makes sense, and I think people realize more and more that there's ways to hack those things, and I think paleo is a great almost a lifestyle choice for people, but it's also just the way I like to eat. It's like, give me vegetables and meat and I'm good, you know. Like,
no, 100%.
The Brazilians got it right away.
You eat clean, you're all good.
Totally. Just out of curiosity, so you introduced new technologies into the corporate world. Mm-hmm. The side hustle was really an interesting venture with your mom. What's going on in the corporate world that you find that's really exciting that you're seeing? Like, what sort of stuff are you trying to introduce? You don't have to give specifics, obviously, about what's going on in your company, which I
was an accident. I just want to say everything that I say in this interview is my personal opinion, not Johnson & Johnson. So I have to add that. And I also want to add that I'm not a medical professional, so if I give any nutritional advice, I recommend speaking to a doctor before making those decisions.
Those are all good disclosures, and I echo those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love my work at J&J. I think what I really, so I'll get to your question in terms of new technologies and what's exciting. I think the digital health space is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Just the amount of, what's really great about J&J, they value integrity and they're very honest so they do pharmaceuticals, med devices, and consumer. And so I appreciate the company culture as well. So I would say digital health technology is just changing, empowering the consumer. I think we all know that and see that. Data right now is always like on the fence, like how do people use data with this Facebook breach?
Going away. Is it a breach? That's a good question to talk about, actually.
So,
is it really a breach?
Nah, it's not a breach. It's just a breach. A discovery of how people are using your data.
How do you think this is? We can talk about that actually in a second, because I have some very defined ideas about this, because I'm like, this is not a breach.
No, definitely not a breach. So that wasn't the terminology.
But that's why it's being positioned, obviously.
That's how it's being positioned by the media, and the reality is you're being served ads that when people use your data, it's a fine line, but you're going to be served ads that are things you want. I mean, the last thing you want is, let's say you take a trip or you're thinking about taking a trip and then you start seeing things that are irrelevant. But if you start seeing things that are relevant to the trip or things that you're interested in, like a healthy lifestyle, that just allows you as the consumer to start making decisions. Yes, they're targeting you.
Sure.
But you as a consumer can see really cool new tech or new products or new services that are out there that you didn't even know were out there. And that's the amazing thing about technology. There's so much. And that's why I love, like, just meeting new people so they can tell me about new things, new tech. And that's why it's fun at J&J, because I'm on a lot of projects. I meet a lot of people. And things that I do in communicate on in online geniuses and networking, just in day-to-day, just grabbing lunch with different types of people, I bring to J&J, new technologies. I learn about new technologies. And I think it's what I learn from J&J, I bring to side hustles in terms of just like how does a corporation work when it comes to compliance, when it comes to privacy. I never even really thought about privacy before I started working at a large company like J&J. So that's been, I think, it opened my eyes, because sometimes when you work at a smart startup, it's like, oh, I'll just buy this right off the shelf.
Right.
And you don't think about what if there actually is a data breach, because you are theoretically, it does impact your customer.
For sure.
So J&J really does take that seriously. So
what sort of technologies are you seeing? Like, I know, like, for example, when you start talking about medical and then data, the thing that comes to my mind is immediately 23andMe, for example.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how a company not necessarily specifically, it is awesome, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily specifically the company you work for, but how are companies like that looking at new technology from a product point of view?
Yeah, I think from a J&J perspective, I don't want to say their number one thing. Again, I'm talking about my opinion, not J&J's. But they want to make sure that the stuff is has been approved by the FDA, has undergone clinical trials. So we take that very, very seriously, which I think is really important. You'll see a lot of infomercials, and that's more like 90s type of stuff, but you still see this stuff. And it's like, lose weight fast. And that shit, like, just screws with your body. But, like, stuff like 23andMe, I think, is really exciting, because I think it just allows you to learn more about yourself and your history. I think that's really fun. And I think as you become more knowledgeable about yourself and start understanding, like, data on yourself, you can make more informed decisions. And I think we're going in that direction. I think right now it's still very aggregate. Like, you could see the amount of steps you walk. But, like, the reality is, does walking 10,000 steps a day cause me to be thin? No, not at all.
No, I think maybe 20 probably, but...
Yeah, exactly.
10 might be just, like, above average. You know, I think a couple things come to mind when you talk about, like, being careful, right?
Yeah.
That things are approved. Because the one thing that came up that was really interesting was that whole Theranos debacle, right?
Yeah.
And I think that really took people by surprise, and it.
Yeah.
You know, I think the risk that we run is we live in a very technologically advanced society, but it's probably like the top 15 or 20% that are pulling the other 80.
Yeah.
And we actually have a very illiterate technological society where people.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it's kind of interesting because, you know, when I see things like Theranos, or I see things like, you know, the Facebook discussion,
yeah,
it makes me realize that, you know, I hear how it's being positioned in the media, and it's kind of like not right.
Well, it's scaring everyone. I mean, the Facebook discussion, I think, has a lot of fear.
Right.
Has given a lot of fear to people, especially the ones that are not into online marketing, because people that don't really know online marketing, they see Facebook as like, oh my God, like, are they going to take my data? Are they going to sell my data? But it's like, I think the people that get it the most, like, really understand, well, my experience is actually better with Facebook when I'm surfing the internet.
For sure.
And we've come a long way when it comes to ads and user experience. And so, yeah, that's my thought.
I think what's interesting to me about that is that people didn't pay attention to the prior two elections,
yeah,
and how those were won,
yeah,
and they still don't understand that because, it's like this fear of, hey, I'm giving all this information and now it's being used against me, is being leveraged for, I think, political means,
of
right?
Course.
But what happened in the first two elections, and I posted this up and there was zero response to it, was, I don't know if you know who Chris Smith is.
I don't.
Well, he was the CTO, I believe, of Facebook, and he was on the Obama campaign. What do you think happened the first 8 years?
Yeah,
because it was like a new platform and it was being utilized with all that information to shape opinion, and now it's like been used against another political group, and it's being trumpeted as this is a breach, but it's not really. It's the same thing that happened the prior
of course. I think I don't want to get into like too much around this, but I think there's also the discussion around outside of Facebook and what was potentially influencing the election, but just focusing on the Facebook.
I don't know anything
stuff
about that.
But yeah, I mean,
I just look at it from a fear point of view.
Of course.
Because, and I actually I write about this in Automate and Grow, which is the first thing I try to address is people's fear of technology.
Yeah.
Because there's always been Luddites, and it's overwhelming because, you know, the pace of change, and it's almost like you can't consume it all. And then there's always this thing where you're, you know, you're in a democratic free market economy, and your food is based upon your ability to work, right? And your skill or what you own. It's either or. It's like, I own an asset and it produces something, or I have a job. Like, you know, it's one of those things. And so when I go right to your gut...
Yeah, no, for sure.
Then it.
I think fear is kind of something that's always been used
for sure
as long as we've been around. So, but I think it's important to see both sides and understand both points of view, like what Facebook is actually doing, and then you see the media and fear. So I think there's maybe.
There's somewhere
some
in the middle.
To both. Yeah, exactly. So I think there's never a black and white. I think you have to make your own decision. But you should also become informed and learn and watch podcasts like yours.
That's kind of my point out of this. So if there's one takeaway, I don't care about either political viewpoint.
Yeah.
I guess what I look at is don't demonize something that you don't necessarily understand.
Yeah,
learn about it and become educated, and I think that's the message that I want people to take away from this little part of the discussion, right? It's like, don't be afraid of it. Like, learn about the truth. Don't be, you know, how does this actually work? Because I think, you know, that entrepreneurs and experts are really the people that should be changing the world and have the best opportunity to change the world, and I think those are the people having the real impact. And if you're not trying to think along the lines of that, which is not, you know, red team, blue team, whatever that nonsense is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you really want to know how it works, go learn. And then right? Go look.
I agree. Yeah.
That's my viewpoint.
No, I agree. I agree.
Now, shifting gears a little bit, you're using technology in another way. And David Markovich had alluded to this, that he had a project in the mental health space. And I believe you're his partner on this, which is 18%, I believe it's called. And it's a Slack group, correct?
Yeah, so it's 18, the number 18%, spelled out, .org. So it is a Slack community right now. We have about 150 members in about 6 weeks with over 10,000 messages sent. It's peer-to-peer support, and it's totally free. So it's really blending mental health with tech, which is really cool and exciting, and definitely an opportunity there.
And I know this was born out of some personal experience that you don't necessarily have to touch on, but it's nice to see that. And if you want to, you're welcome to. But nice to see that you're leveraging your knowledge to impact that part of the world.
I think what's really important is sometimes when you have personal tragedy, it's like how do you deal with it? Do you grieve, which I think is normal.
For sure.
But I think to get past that grieving process, you have to make something, create something out of it, versus just let it be, because there'll always be that hole within you if you just don't fill it up. And I've seen people that are still kind of still challenging for them when they've lost people or breakups. So my friend, close family friend, Lewis, had schizoaffective disorder and bipolar, and they found his body near a river.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible.
So
I can't imagine.
I think for his parent, I mean, the impact on his parents is immense, and really, obviously, I mean, to lose your son, I would never want that to happen to anyone, but I really wanted to do something to honor him. So I raised $9,600 in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And I really wanted to keep doing things around this space. It was kind of like a domino effect. Mental health was nothing that was on my mind. And after Lewis's passing and raising this money, and then I wanted to do more, and I teamed up David with his expertise in community building.
Right.
He wanted to help, and we built 18% as the first mental health Slack group, and really just trying to help people now so we could prevent potential deaths. It is a community. So we don't offer services. So it's really just peer-to-peer support. And people, they join, and it's global community. And people join, and they'll be like, oh, have you seen this movie? Or it's just like random just friends. And they build these relationships on our Slack community. And then there's also a support channel. So sometimes people come in, and they're like, I'm having a really bad day. I had a horrible day at work. I just got fired. Like, it could be anything.
Sure.
Or it could be, I'm having an episode, and people are like, how can I help? And it's not a replacement to your psychologist or psychiatrist. It's just another tool in your tool belt you could use to find that connection. And sometimes you just want to hear what others have gone through. So, like, imagine you live in Florida, and you just got diagnosed with schizophrenia. You can reach out on the support, I just got diagnosed, and 10 other people will be like, listen, like, I went through the same feeling you're going through, like, you're not alone. And that connection and support can make a huge difference in your life.
That makes total sense, and I applaud the fact that, number one, that you've, you know, I think you've used your knowledge and expertise in this area to try and have a positive impact, and you've provided probably a really valuable outlet. And for people that don't know, Slack is really like a messaging community platform, right?
Yeah, it is. And I want to just add, so like I raised the money on a site called Caring Crowd. It's caringcrowd.org.
I think I've met those guys.
Really? Oh, cool. Yeah. They're great, great guys. And it was just, and anyone can start a project on there. It's kind of like Kickstarter for nonprofits.
Right.
And I'm not trying to sponsor in any way. Just like I think it's a great platform. It is sponsored by J&J, so I just wanted to make caveat. And they don't make any money from it. And that's what I think is like beautiful. They actually match. So they match dollar for dollar up to $250 for any nonprofit. And it's for a specific project.
Wow.
So I funded with the proceeds the NAMI Basics program, which supported 250 parents of children with mental illness. So that's what I love versus sometimes you go to, you give money away to a charity and you don't know where it went.
Right.
Like it could have gone to like more flyers, which are needed, but like you want to know your money went to an awesome project. And so that was really special. And I'm planning on launching another project on Caring Crowd during Mental Health Awareness Week, which is in May, for $30,000. So I really want to talk to myself. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have to post up links to this when it's up.
I did 9,600. I'm like, I want to go more. I want to challenge myself even more. Like, get to the – I love challenging myself and pushing myself and growing and meeting cool people. And, like, that's kind of, I think, what life is about. And – yeah, so
that's amazing. No, I definitely applaud that. That's so I think you again, you know, you're challenging an area where you're using, you know, I think you said it, there's probably a lot of stigma around even the topic, right? And then I guess what I didn't ask actually was, before I forget, where does the what's the reference of 18%? What does that refer to?
So 18% means 18% of Americans at any given moment have mental illness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's, and it's probably much higher. And half of that are untreated. And it's, I remember when I was looking for a nonprofit to contribute to for my first campaign, I went on the subreddit Schizophrenia on Reddit, and I asked, what nonprofit has made the biggest difference in your life? So I crowdsourced it from the actual people who have the disease. And NAMI came up over and over and over. NAMI's National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Okay.
And before I launched the project, I didn't know anything about schizophrenia. So I went on Schizophrenia Sub again and just read all the posts and watched videos. And I was like crying, like 3 hours. And I was just like, how... like what these people go through is just so, so hard. And it's like sometimes living in a nightmare. And I think when you kind of put yourself in their shoes, it makes everything so much easier because you're so much more passionate about wanting to do it because you get what they're living. Don't totally get, but you have an idea. And I think that's kind of what drives me and drives David, working on 18% and just helping people with mental illness.
Wow, and that number sounds high, but in the sense it's also not surprising. I mean, I think we deal with a lot of, we have a complex society and there's a lot of stuff going on and people have, I think it's just the positive and the, you know, side of everyone being in a visible online social world, if you will, is that maybe hopefully even through this group, you know, people find resources that they maybe wouldn't have had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the stigma is like, well, this is not affecting a small number of people. Like,
no.
This is, and I think somebody you know is having an issue.
You know, for sure. And the number is, I mean, it's a huge number, 18%.
It's 66, 70 million people, right?
And it's like... once you realize you're not there alone, I think that will take help a lot of people. Just realizing that you're not the only one who feels this way helps a lot of people. And yeah, I think, and remember with 18%, it's not just people who have bipolar schizophrenia. You could have major anxiety or you could have had like a really shitty day at work. Maybe you just got fired or maybe you just broke up with your girlfriends. Like people can have depression for, I mean, it could be a day, it could be months. So I think it really is a range, the spectrum, it's a range of symptoms. And I think when you have that community, because sometimes your friends you don't feel comfortable talking to your friends, or maybe you don't have the support system from your parents. And sometimes that's why the internet can make a huge difference. And maybe you don't have enough money to go to a psychiatrist. Or maybe it's 3 a.m. and you can't get in touch with a psychiatrist. And that's the beauty of our community. You can ask for help at any hour.
That's interesting.
And people will connect with you. And it's 3 a.m. here. It's going to be in the afternoon somewhere else. And we all, and I think the beauty is, no matter where you are, we're all very similar. We don't have to keep saying how different we are from someone across the world. We all have the same shit. We all have the same concerns and issues and what we love. And it's just sometimes there are some key differentiators that tear us apart.
Well, and that's a good point, because I think, you know, maybe that bridges some of the divide where people understand that it's easy to leverage the things that are different about people, but if you boil down the way they think and the problems they have, and you really start distilling it, we're probably all down to like 2 or 3 of the same problems, regardless of where we are and who we are. And there might be different, you know, extremes of it, but...
I mean, you look at 23andMe, right?
Oh,
we all come from the same spot.
did you do 23andMe out of curiosity?
I haven't yet. I will.
I downloaded the app and I looked at it again just out of curiosity the other day. I think I'm less Neanderthal than the average.
Look at you. Different.
But still
you
Neanderthal, right?
You're still Neanderthal.
And then I think I wasn't too surprised about too much of it, except for one thing, which is I found out I'm like 6% Jewish. And I'm like, where?
There you go.
It's like my people, but... I knew for sure that I was about almost just under 60% Irish. I'm actually an Irish citizen, but...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the Italian and the French were no surprise, but that 6% was definitely an eye-opener.
Like, where did that come from? The mom that didn't tell you something, right? They hid,
and I don't know which side, and someone was, you know... I think they traced it back to, like, the mid-1800s or something, but... Definitely interesting. That's another area of technology that's super interesting. So I think just the genetic thing is interesting.
Fascinating. I think, and getting back to your other topic, I think the most exciting thing at J&J is like potentially curing diseases, like curing things like schizophrenia or something like that. I think that's, it just makes me just excited. And the hope is, especially with like many of these mental illnesses or health issues, oftentimes they are genetic,
right?
And your hope is that with medication and new vaccines that we can, it doesn't have to be passed down. And you see so many diseases now that are no longer exist because of technology. And
then there's stuff that's coming back because people are becoming luddites about the technology. It's such a weird phenomenon where, you know, there's like this anti-reality movement, and in some ways, or anti-science, right? It's like,
it's
no.
Yeah.
In the ancient times, people did this, and I'm like, yeah, they're all dead, like at 30.
There'll always be those people, but the reality is, it's like you just got to keep pushing forward, and there's always going to be those people, and they're going to try to distract you, and you just got to keep pushing forward, and
very true.
That's why I don't read the news too much.
Because
there's all these crappy things going on.
This is the news.
This is the news. Exactly.
Well, listen, I want to be conscious of your time. I won't keep you forever, but I do appreciate your insight on these things, and I'm really excited about some of these projects that you've got. Particularly, 18% is, I think, just at the beginning, is going to keep growing and helping people. And so I wish you luck with that. I'll wrap up with 2 things that I usually ask. One is, how are you, Zach, changing the world?
Yeah, I would say I guess I hope that I work a full-time job and I have these side hustles. I think it's important that I want other people to take away, whether you are an entrepreneur or not, and there's not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, there's nothing wrong with that, but you could still bring innovative ideas to your company. And you could still, if you have an idea, you don't have to wait because maybe you're not a director or you don't have a big budget. I mean, like me, I was able to do this on Caring Crowd with no budget, no experience in the nonprofit world. And I think that's what I want people to take away with is, like, if you're really passionate about something, there's always going to be that internal voice of, like, one day, not now, you're too stupid, you're too this, and just push forward and meet people. And I hope that's how I'm changing the world, is people can see me, what I'm doing, and set an example. And I think around health as well, that you don't have to be on 4 hours of sleep a night and eat crappy. And I think people are understanding that. And hopefully I'm going to help change the world in the mental health space and help remove that stigma little by little and have people start talking about this and just help people that go through really challenging lives. Sometimes daily.
I love it. That's a great answer, and you're doing great work, so I applaud that. I'll wrap with one final question where I usually put my guests on the spot, and you should probably know this because this is how you got on the show, but when we have interesting guests, we always ask you to nominate someone that you can introduce us to that you think should appear on a future episode of Automate and Grow. And usually the first answer that pops in your head is the best, but you might have already had some prep around. I don't know.
Actually, I did not think of it. Okay. I just had three that just came to mind.
Okay, let's hear them. We can do with three.
Yeah. Josh Klayman.
Okay. And what's Josh do?
He is in the Canadian consulate, and he brings in new companies to the States.
Okay. My fellow Canuck.
And yeah, right? And so he lives in New York.
Okay.
And yeah, so he's really passionate about technology and helping companies grow, and right. especially helping companies from overseas come to the U.S. and
so we had Josh Klayman.
Yeah. I guess we could start there.
Sure. Was there anyone else that you wanted to nominate?
So I have a couple ideas. Yeah. I could pass it. I would pass it by them and make that intro to
Terrific.
You. So fascinating guy. There's an app called Reporter. Have you ever used it?
Reporter. I've heard of this. Yeah. Tell me about
the guy who created the Facebook timeline. Super fascinating. So I could give you, he did help design the Facebook timeline, created the Reporter app. And I use that for like analytics on my life. He's super fascinating and really into health. Like when it comes to a data perspective, he's really into privacy and protecting your data. And then the last person who I spoke to recently is one of the co-founders of Tongle, which is a video crowdsourcing website.
Huh.
Mark Burrell, and super cool guy, and his company is, I mean, awesome. I mean, they've had commercials in the Super Bowl. Company, like some major companies are now using crowdsourcing for video, which I think is awesome.
Interesting.
But sometimes, like, the best people are people that you don't expect because they may be really passionate about something, and they're also incredible videographers.
And what was the second person's name from Reporter?
Do you remember? I could give you that. I'll send you that email.
Okay, terrific.
As well.
So we have three wonderful nominations. You've over-delivered.
These are the three people that came to mind that are interesting.
Those are great. That's amazing. So, Zach, I really appreciate you spending time with me today. And I really appreciate all the, everything you're working on, particularly 18%, I think, has a bright future as a Slack community and doing great work. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to touch on? And how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, you could add me on LinkedIn. I like having interesting conversations.
Super.
And then, Twitter. I have all the social.
We'll post those up in the show notes.
Cool. And I have a cool site if you want to share your achievements, My Tiny Wins. So I started using that so you can add your achievements.
Right, we forgot to talk really about cool. that. My Tiny Wins, right?
My Tiny Wins. So it's the first social network to share your accomplishments publicly. But if you're a more private person or it's a personal thing, you could share it privately. And I'm actually, for private wins, I'm going to encrypt all the wins because I understand. Yeah, I want to make sure admins can see it. Like, this is your online diary if you want to go the private route. So that's, I mean, I'm really into like data protection too and privacy, especially when it comes to like your accomplishments, especially if they're very personal. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. Again, I think this kind of goes throughout like my mission of just like doing cool stuff, sharing with the world and contributing. I think that's how My Tiny Wins was born, and hopefully it could also help people with mental illness and or people that are struggling, because sometimes you just need to start thinking about the things that are going well and what you're achieving and not only just looking at the negative.
Yeah, and I apologize, we almost forgot to talk about that, because that's also very interesting. And I see the connection between your two projects, where you kind of made this aha moment where you could say, actually, these things could relate. Yeah, it's not limited really to that, right? It's like, so My Tiny Wins, the idea is it's like a platform where you can just kind of keep track of and share with other people.
Yeah, and people could cheer you on. Yeah.
I love it.
Same thing. It's like I had like, oh, let's say you joined and I'm following you, you're following me. Anytime I post a win, you can see like a notification and vice versa. And then you could always look back at your win. So you're having a crappy day, go on 18%, you ask. And then you could also see your achievements. You go to your profile and see all your previous wins, and it feels good. So I think it's important to acknowledge yourself and not be too hard on yourself. I mean, not just watch Netflix all day. You gotta challenge yourself and keep pushing and growing. I think it's a fine line, like the gray, not all white and black.
I love it. All right, well, Zach, I don't want to take up the rest of your day, but really appreciate. I'm glad that we got that in at the end.
Yeah,
I almost forgot about that. You were
no worries.
That as
no
well.
Worries. No, I really appreciate the time, Michael, as well, and this was a lot of fun.
No problem. I always enjoy talking to people that are interesting, and you definitely got a lot of cool stuff that we'll keep following.
Thank you.
So thanks. This has been episode 24, I believe. I got to keep a chalkboard or something to make
yeah, sure right?
keep track of it. And we look forward to another episode, which will be episode 25 in the future, and we'll follow up with your nominations, which all sound amazing.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz, and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.